The word that best sums up this season of Lent is repent. What is repentance? Repentance is acknowledging that we have sinned, that we have done evil. We ask God for forgiveness, and we do what we need to do to clean up the mess that we have made through the evil that we have committed. So we're called to repent, and not just during Lent. Every single day of the year, we should be asking ourselves, how have I sinned against God and against my neighbor? Have I asked for forgiveness? Have I reconciled with other people? Jesus' first words of his public ministry were, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." So this is Jesus saying, this is my ministry to say to people, repent. Why? Because again and again, if we read the Bible, the people, and that's our story too, people are turning away from God. Even though God has done great things for them, they still turn away from the Lord. They still sin. That first reading today, we have Joshua leading the Israelites into the promised land. That's a big story about freedom and sin and repentance. Because if you remember, God saved the people from slavery in Egypt, brought them out of slavery. Well, were they happy about that? Well, maybe for 20 minutes. But then they started complaining and whining and moaning and saying to God, "You're not doing what we want you to do." So they were punished. And Moses said, "Oh Lord, please don't destroy them." And the Lord relented. But again and again, the people sinned. So for 40 years, the Israelites were wandering in the desert so that that first generation of people that came out of Egypt died. So they were not going to go into the promised land. If you think kind of this is heaven for them, they're not going to get there because they were unfaithful to God and the covenant. So here we have an example of people who did not repent and were punished. And Moses, he didn't get to go into the promised land because he too was unfaithful, at least in one thing. You know, we may look back and say, well, that wasn't a big thing. But we're talking about God and God's commandments and God's expectations. Because Moses was chosen to lead the people, he was held to a higher standard. So there's no excuses. And if Moses had no excuse about sinning, do you think we have any chance of coming up with a good excuse and saying to God, "Gee, God, I didn't know"? No, we have no excuses whatsoever because we have the fullness of truth. We know what God tells us not to do, and we know what God tells us to do. You know, it's not just avoiding sin. That's only part of our call as disciples. And maybe in one sense, that's the smaller part. Because what we're called to do as followers of God is to do the good that God commands us to do, to love God fully and completely and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Are we doing those things? Do we think as much of our neighbor, and our neighbor is everyone, as much as we think of ourselves? Do we seek to give good things to even our enemy that we would want for ourselves? So there's that iceberg, that big part that's underwater that, you know, we think, well, I've asked God for forgiveness for these sins, and they tend to be small sins, I'm okay. No, we're not. We're not. We have to not only avoid the evil, but to do the good. So again, Jesus' first words in his public ministry are repent. And we may say Moses and the Israelites in the desert had an excuse. Well, obviously they didn't. And so that first generation who had seen the miracles of God were not allowed into the promised land. A lot's at stake. If we read the Bible again and again, it's about people saying, "Oh yes, Lord, I believe in you," and then being unfaithful. If they had no excuse, we have no excuses whatsoever. God's desire for us is that not only do we repent of our sins, ask God for forgiveness, but that we be reconciled to God and to our brothers and sisters. And in the Old Testament, we had God coming down on the mountain to talk to Moses about all this. Well, we have Jesus Christ, God himself, who comes down to show us the extent of God's love and God's desire to be reconciled to us. He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to do that. He could have said, look, you sin, that's it, goodbye. But he didn't. And he continues to come to us, especially in the sacraments, especially in this sacrament of the Eucharist. But we also have confession. How many of us go to confession regularly? To remind ourselves, I got to stay on top of my sins. Because if I keep falling into sin, I'm not going to be doing the good that I'm supposed to be doing, to be reconciling myself and other people with God. So we have a lot at stake. Now, it's not a problem on God's part. I mean, God's always doing what he can and more to seek us out, to find us, because we lose ourselves. We lose ourselves in our selfishness, in our pursuits, in our things that we possess, our idols, so to speak. But God is always running after us and saying, hey, come back, come back. Today's gospel parable about the prodigal son, or we could say the lost son, comes at the end of two other parables about God seeking the lost. The first one is the lost sheep. God goes in pursuit of the lost sheep. He leaves the 99 to find the one. That's God. That's God. He goes out to get us. He doesn't stay in the church or on his throne and say, well, I'll wait till that person comes to me. No, God's always pursuing us. The second parable is the lost coin. The woman tears her house apart to find a little coin. And when she finds it, she rejoices. That's God. When he goes out, finds the lost person, and the lost person says, Lord, I want to be reconciled to you, the Lord is thrilled. All of heaven is thrilled. So the gospel parable we have today of the lost son is the same story. Here we have a son, and he says to his father, give me what it was going to come with me after your death. And he goes out, he wastes it, and he wastes it in a foreign country, in a Gentile, pagan land, far away from his roots. And he's set to work on a pig farm. What an irony. Jews looked upon pork as unclean food, and yet he has to work among the swine. He's lost, he's enslaved, he's degraded himself. And he finally comes up with the idea, you know, I'm going to go back to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against you and against God. I don't deserve to be called your son. Here's repentance. I'll be your slave from now on, your servant. I don't expect for you to bring me back as your son, but please bring me back as a servant. That's what he's thinking, so he heads off. Now again, is God, or the father representing God, waiting in the house till his son comes through the door? No. The sense that we get is that the father's watching out, looking every single day to see if his son's coming back. He's hoping his son comes back. And when he sees his son approaching, he runs out and embraces him before the son can even apologize and ask for forgiveness. The father embraces him. He's so joyful to have his son back. That's God reaching out to the sinner. And he brings his son back, not as a slave or a servant, but he brings him back as a son. That's incredible. Would we do that? If friends sin against us and they come back, do we still bring them back into the fullness of reconciliation with us? Or do we treat them as, well, we can't trust them or whatever? Not this father. He brings him back and he becomes the full son of the father once again. That's real reconciliation. That's mercy. That's what God does for us. The question is, do we respond to that? Do we respond and say, yes, Lord, I am a sinner? Do we hold our feet to the fire? Do we hold ourselves accountable? Do we stop making excuses, finally, and say, Lord, doesn't matter whether it's, quote-unquote, a mortal sin or a venial sin, a sin is a sin. I have sinned against you. I am sorry. I want to be reconciled. I want to be forgiven so that I can be your adopted child once again, in full reconciliation with you. That's what God wants for us. But the question is, again, is that what we want, and are we doing what we need to do to say, I am sorry, I have sinned? Or do we kind of, it wasn't a big sin, no big deal? Do we repent, which again is crucial to our faith as Catholics? But again, that's part of it. The bigger part is then saying, yes, I have repented, Lord, now I'm going to get back into the fray, the fight, and I'm going to do all those good things. And in today in particular, we're told the ministry, the main ministry that you and I have, Paul tells us this, is the ministry of reconciliation. That's what Paul says. We're ambassadors of God. We are ministers of reconciliation, just like the loving Father in today's gospel parable, just like God. Just like God goes out to us. That's what we're supposed to be doing in the ministry of reconciliation, not sitting in our nice churches, but rather going back out after we've been nourished and strengthened by the Eucharist, going back out and finding the lost sheep, searching for them, not going home and watching the football game. Oh, I know that's the God of many people, but rather to say to ourselves, who are the people who need reconciliation? How am I called to give them the message of Jesus Christ, which we know is repent because I love you, I want to be reconciled with you, and I want to eventually lead you into heaven. Do we ever say that message to other people? So there are people suffering, living in darkness, living in sin and evil, and here we are having a nice, comfortable life, praying comfortably. But are we taking them the message that we have been commanded to bring them? This is a command. This is not something, well, you know, maybe I'll go out to my neighbor and be nice to them and talk about God. No. We're commanded to do that. We are ambassadors of Christ. We are ministers of reconciliation. Think of that. And think of how we're going to be judged on that. So we may say, well, Lord, I went to confession before I died. Well, good. But did you reconcile people to me, to yourself, to other people? Because sin destroys that reconciliation, that unity. And God wants that unity. He wants that unity of love. And so it's not just us priests who sit in a confessional hearing sins and forgiving them. You play your part in terms of going out to people and saying, this is what God wants for you. He wants you to be joyful. He wants you to be at peace. He wants you to put aside whatever slavery that is in your lives, whether it's the possessions or good times or comfort or career or worrying about Social Security. Put those aside because that's a worry that we don't need to take on ourselves and get out into the world and do our part as disciples of the Lord. That's what God has commanded us to do, to be his disciples, to be his servants, his ministers of reconciliation. So we don't just go out of this church, hopefully say, well, I've done my stuff for the week, I'm all good with God. No, the real work begins once we step outside the church. Then we've got all this stuff to keep in mind. How am I repenting of my sins? How am I asking God for forgiveness? Am I doing that? Am I seeking to clean up the mess I've made through sin? Because that ruptures, destroys relationships. Relationship with God, with my brothers and sisters, and even with myself. What am I doing to make that healthy again? And then how am I taking God's forgiveness, God's reconciliation for me, and to share it with other people? How am I being an ambassador? How am I saying to people, you know, I have a ministry of reconciliation, and I've sought you out to bring this good news to you. And it doesn't matter how the person responds. If they say yes, that's wonderful. If they don't, that's their choice. But our responsibility is at least to preach that gospel message of repentance and reconciliation that God has given to all of us. And when we do that, the more we grow in our faith, the more we see the little sins that are like tartar on our teeth, rotting them away and we do stuff to make sure that's not going to destroy us. The more we are aware of how we fail to love God and our neighbor as ourselves, that's a good thing, because then we can work on it and grow in it. So we should always be aware that sin destroys. We should be ready to ask God for forgiveness and seek reconciliation. And then in thanksgiving for that, take that same message of peace, reconciliation, healing out into the world. So you can say to someone, did you know I am a minister of reconciliation? That's a good conversation starter, don't you think? People go, what? And then you can explain to them what that's all about. And you can start by saying how you, as a sinner, have been forgiven by God freely and willingly because God loves you. And that's what God wants for every single human being. He wants us to love ourselves as we love those who murdered the four Sisters of Charity in Yemen. He wants us to go to them, people like that, and to say to them, repent, because this is how God wants to free you from the slavery to evil that is in your lives. So we need to work at getting the evil out of our own lives by repenting, taking advantage of the sacraments, especially the sacrament of penance, and also by going out and sharing that gospel message of reconciliation with other people. So again, as you go forth this weekend, that's our homework as always, to look around us. Where is the evil? Do people know? Are they so stuck in their evil that, like the Israelites in the desert, we have to go out to them and say, look, you're sinning. You're not faithful to the covenant that God has made with all of humanity, to teach other people through our own stories how we have repented of our sins and how God has reconciled us to himself, and to let other people know how they can be reconciled to the Father. That's our ministry. That is such an important ministry in this day and age when we see all this violence around the world. It will not end until every good Christian stands up and lives fully the discipleship that we are called to. So every one of us, young and old, have that ministry of reconciliation. We're the ambassadors of Christ. We are called to go forth and to share with other people that good news of reconciliation that God constantly offers to us. So who is it in your lives that you know is in need of that message? Who do you not know? But if you go looking for them, you'll find them to teach them that message. And how are you going to do it? We can do it in so many different ways, and it's up to us to be creative, imaginative, to use the gifts we have been given so that we can go and be reconcilers, to be peacemakers, to bring that gospel of reconciliation each and every day to every person we meet.